It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock, and it's Friday, April the 27th. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. A former Sitka resident will spend 3 years on probation and pay back money he embezzled from the nonprofit organization he once led. Judge Ralph Beislein handed down that sentence after 46-year-old Gerald Bigelow pleaded guilty to embezzlement in Anchorage Federal Court on Wednesday. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, the embezzlement nearly ended a four-decade-long relationship between a group of Native artists and the National Park Service.
Bigelow was executive director of the Southeast Alaska Indian Cultural Center. For more than 40 years, the organization has employed Native artists who work in a studio at Sitka National Historical Park, where they teach and demonstrate their art for the public. That relationship nearly came to an end last spring when the Park Service launched an investigation into the group's finances. The Park Service contributed more than $80,000 to the Cultural Center in 2011. Federal prosecutors say Bigelow used the Cultural Center's debit card without authorization more than 75 times between October 2010 and May 2011. They said he stole more than $17,000. In a statement released Thursday, Assistant U.S. Attorney Kevin Feldes says Bigelow admitted to making purchases and cash withdrawals for his personal use. U.S. District Court Judge Ralph Beislein ordered Bigelow to serve probation and to pay the money back, noting that Bigelow has not been in trouble with the law before and that he had accepted responsibility for his conduct. Bigelow's attorney, Rich Kirtner, said the sentence was fair. But the head of the Cultural Center disagrees. He had hoped for stiffer penalties against a crime that he says almost destroyed his organization.
A lot of the residents in town thought, you know, we were done.
President of the board, Gary Lang.
It's been pretty tough for the artists not knowing, you know, do I have a job next week? It's been tough for the public, you know, can we still go down there? What is there at the park? Can we still go down and visit?
The answer, Lang says, is yes. The Cultural Center and the National Park came to an agreement that lets the organization stay on park property. Other organizations, including the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, reached out to the Cultural Center to help them recover. There have been changes on the board, and Lang says he hopes the park will be able to expand its reach, working more with students in the community and the general public.
We do a demonstration program in the summer for tourists, but that's not our primary goal. Our primary goal is to, you know, share the knowledge of the culture and the carving aspects of it and a lot of teaching.
Lang says the last year has been a roller coaster, one that started out with a plummet, not a climb, but that hopefully, in the end, his organization will emerge stronger. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Construction of a mine on southern Prince of Wales Island is on track to begin within 3 years. That's according to Patrick Smith, the CEO of British Columbia-based Heatherdale Resources. Smith gave an update on the Niblack mine to the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce luncheon on Wednesday. Deanna Garrison was there and filed this report.
Smith says Niblack is in the advanced exploration stage with an estimated 9 million tons of gold, copper, zinc, and silver identified. He says Heatherdale is studying the economic viability of opening the mine. He says a mine the size of Niblack would cost between $150 and $200 million to develop.
The numbers look good. It would look really, really, really good with about another million or 2 million tons. So that's our focus this year.
In order to add 1 or 2 million tons to the estimated resource at Niblack, Smith says Heatherdale will initiate surface drilling this year.
The reason we're not underground is that we've pretty well exhausted what we can do with regard to growing the resource from drilling underground. What we really need now to grow the resource further is some of these surface drilling sites.
He says Heatherdale had hoped to begin surface drilling last year, but with the reinstatement of the federal roadless rule, the company ran into four service permitting delays. The company now has its permit. Since Heatherdale took over exploration in 2009, Smith says the identified resource at Niblack has increased by 110%. With the company's current resource estimate, Smith says Heatherdale believes there's enough minerals at Niblack to mine around 1,500 tons per day for at least 10 to 12 years. He says the operation at the mine itself would require around 130 workers. Smith says the mined material would likely be shipped off-site to a processing mill, which would employ another 60 workers.
You bring in a barge that's here, you roll the ore onto the barge, and you move it to an off-site facility. And where do we go? Well, we've looked at quite a few different places.
Smith says Sea Alaska and the Alaska Mental Health Trust have discussed utilizing potential properties at Tolstoy Bay on Prince of Wales. He says Heatherdale is also looking at Ketchikan Gateway Borough property on Gravina Island as a potential mill site.
We've looked at the old Sealy Mill site and on borough lands, and that would also be a very convenient and positive sites.
Smith says where the mill will be located may very well boil down to availability of low-cost hydroelectric power.
The trouble with Tolstoy is power, obviously, and I told the people yesterday out on Prince of Wales Island they'd love to have the mill there, and they're saying, what can we do? And they just don't have the capacity. They've got a new power station going in at Reynolds Creek, a new hydroelectric power facility, but it's not really going to have that much capacity. We need about 8 megawatts power for the mill. They might be able to help us out on the mine site, but the mill would be well over what that capacity is. And so that's a bit of an issue with regard to trying to locate the mill on Prince Wales Island, but who knows, things may change with time.
Smith says potential sites within the Ketchikan Gateway Borough would likely have access to cheaper power rates, although he recognizes Ketchikan may have its own hydro capacity issues. Heatherdale expects to begin wrapping up exploration activities at Niblack again this spring. Once exploration is in full swing, Smith says a company will be spending around $1.2 million a month on Niblack. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
Debris swept into the Pacific Ocean by last year's big tsunami in Japan is turning up more and more on Alaska and Pacific Northwest coasts. More is out there drifting our way. The state of Washington hosted a meeting this week to prepare local governments and beachgoers for what to do. Oregon held similar meetings last week. And here's the takeaway. Tsunami debris pickup depends largely on you. Correspondent Tom Vance is beachside with the latest.
It's just me and a few brave seagulls and sandpipers combing the high tide line at Ocean Shores, Washington, on this blustery, stormy morning. So far, I've found a few discarded beer cans, an old Gatorade bottle, a plastic coat hanger, assorted container lids. Nothing terribly exceptional, really. Now, I should say there was a volunteer beach cleanup this past weekend. And it's those kinds of volunteer efforts, I'm learning, that will be the backbone of dealing with the coming waves of tsunami debris.
Really, no one has responsibility to clean up just trash on beaches. There's a lot of reliance on voluntary measures, so there's a lot of reliance on community groups.
That's Kurt Hart from Washington's Department of Ecology. He spoke at a tsunami debris planning meeting in Ocean Shores that involved dozens of different government bodies, tribes, and community groups. They heard about innocuous trash, but what worries participants more are things like oil drums, containers with hazardous waste, even the possibility of a fuel-filled boat. If you see something like that, don't touch or try to move it. There's a hotline now to report it. Hart believes it's extremely unlikely human remains from the tsunami will reach the West Coast, but personally identifiable belongings might, and Hart says those should also be reported.
Move it out of the tide line if it seems to be a personal item. Report it to NOAA. They will work with trying to get that back to working with the Japanese consulate to see if they can identify the owner.
The leading edge of tsunami debris is arriving on our shores sooner than first predicted. The wind pushed some items that float high in the water briskly across the Pacific. But NOAA's West Coast Marine Debris Coordinator, Nir Barnea, says the bulk of the tsunami debris is still north and east of Hawaii.
More likely that it will show up intermittently over time, here and there, in a kind of dispersed fashion.
Barnea says the debris field in the ocean is so spread out now it can hardly be called a debris field. Barnea says the widely scattered flotsam is no longer visible by satellite, which makes it hard to say how much has sunk and how much is still floating. I'm Tom Bonsi in Ocean Shores, Washington.
Even though the state Senate here in Alaska had adjourned, the House remains in session today. They have 3 days to call the Senate back. During a news conference yesterday afternoon, House Speaker Mike Chenault says he doesn't know what will happen next. The Nikinsky Republican says the House will caucus this morning and possibly make a decision then. The winners haven't been determined yet, but this year's jackpot in Alaska's Nanana Ice Classic is worth a record $350,000. Ice Classic manager Sherry Forness says the winner, or winners, should be determined by early next week. She says the biggest previous jackpot was about $338,000 in 2011. In Alaska's biggest guessing game, people pay $2.50 for each guess as to when the ice will go out on the Tanana River in the tiny community of Nanana, about 55 miles south of Fairbanks. This year, the painted tripod shifted and tripped a clock on the riverbank at 7:39 p.m. on Monday. The Ice Classic, rather, has been a tradition since 1917. Records show the ice goes out anywhere between April 20th and May 20th.